In a shocking raid that shatters the already damaged wholesome facade of the most magical place on Earth, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents boarded five cruise ships in San Diego between April 23rd and 25th, which included Disney's Magic, netting 28 arrests for child sexual exploitation material. Three of those nabbed were Disney cruise staffers, with passengers left stunned as crew members, including one family's server, were cuffed right in front of them during disembarkation. Authorities confirmed involvement in receiving, possessing, distributing, or viewing child pornography, primarily among foreign crew from the Philippines, Portugal, and Indonesia.
Crew member on board the Disney Dream was arrested for possession of child pornography after authorities received nine separate tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. A 28-year-old Filipino crew member had his phone seized when the ship arrived at the port, and authorities found multiple photographs of children engaged in sexual acts, some of which were under 10 years of age. He apparently was sharing these photos with a group of other such individuals on a Facebook group.
Meanwhile, liberal mouthpieces like Kathy Griffin are outraged that the pedos were arrested and deported. Because, of course they are. Disney issued the standard corporate boilerplate about zero tolerance and cooperation, but the pattern here is impossible to ignore.
Then there's Xavier Jackson. He's 27.
He is accused of sending sexual images to someone he thought was a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, did I mention that he just happens to be a lifeguard at the Polynesian Resort for Disney? Well, why do people like Paul Vail work at Disney? Because that's where the children are. He had 540 counts of child pornography, from newborns to 8 years of age.
Deputies stormed their Davenport home, the one with Mickey and Minnie out in the front yard and a security jacket hanging in the car. Inside, they say they found child porn on Thomas Wheeler's computer, with kids ranging in age from 9 to 11 engaged in various sex acts.
Detectives arrested 10 men and 16-year-old boy as part of an undercover child pornography investigation. One of the men worked as a project manager at Walt Disney World. Another worked at Legoland.
Investigators telling us that this pastor and also a Disney hotel employee was downloading child porn images while on the job, but apparently he was also doing more. Disney put a system in place to take screen captures every 3 seconds, recording Cuthbert's every move, even as he wrote an Easter sermon while he watched the videos.
This is how investigators say the Disney worker solicited at least one boy through his Xbox.
Charles Proctor, he's a 56-year-old electrician at Disney World. Proctor is charged with 11 counts of possessing child porn.
A Disney boat driver sits now in the Orange County Jail, charged with more than a dozen counts of possessing and trading child pornography.
This man, Richard Morgan, has been taken into custody, accused of molesting a young girl. He is a stage tech at Disney World.
A Disney employee busted, say investigators, for chatting online and trying to meet what he thought was a dad and his 8-year-old daughter for sex. Federal prosecutors say Frederick Pohl of Claremont was surprised when he got to an Orlando hotel. There was no girl, only investigators waiting to arrest him.
And this man is waiting to go to trial. Polk County deputies arrested him last year for having child porn. Of course, Disney isn't the only theme park with cases like this. Employees from SeaWorld, Legoland, and Universal have also been arrested for similar crimes.
State police have just arrested a SeaWorld employee on charges of making and sharing child porn.
Some downtown Disney visitors are shocked tonight as word spreads that an employee there was arrested and charged with molesting a 9-year-old boy earlier this month.
How deep does this rot go in an organization that markets directly to kids? Passengers filming the chaos in the docks weren't just witnessing arrests. They were seeing the mask slip on a billion-dollar machine that profits from trust it lost years ago. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
That is the latest from John Bound. Find it and share it at alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. Share the link. We'll be right back.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. Cancel any time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of May, 2026, here on alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. Please do share that link. And, you know, we don't just say that. It actually helps a lot when you share that link. And hell, you know, maybe, I can't tell you, I would never, far be it for me to ever suggest you do something like, you know, put it on a sticker and put it on a light pole or use spray paint to spray it all over a fence. That might very well be illegal, and I would never encourage you to do that. But absence illegality, everything up to the illegal, I encourage you to do, because we really got to let people know where they can find us. A disturbing amount of people have fallen for the Onion's lies that InfoWars belongs to them or that we're no longer broadcasting. Hello. Hello, I'm broadcasting. I'm coming to you live out of our emergency studios. Please do share those links. We really do depend on you doing that. We have a lot of news today. Of course, the war in Iran is very big news. We also have just a ton of crime news as well. There was also the mayoral debate in L.A. yesterday with Spencer Pratt going head-to-head with a couple of socialist weirdos. And we really are getting into a interesting political landscape where things that used to be totally denied or totally rejected outright in public, even if the Democrats supported it in private, now they're just coming out and saying it. So now, you know, you've got basically everybody except for Spencer Pratt in the LA mayoral race basically going, well, should illegal immigrants vote? Maybe, kind of, yeah, I think maybe they should, actually. Which, again, is just the death of democracy. And it's just highlights the absurdity of the decade and more we've spent for quote-unquote Democrats saving quote-unquote democracy from big bad Donald Trump while simultaneously eviscerating everything that makes a democracy function. It's really something to behold, but not exactly surprising, I guess you could say. Not exactly out of step with the rest of the way the modern world operates. But we will get into the latest updates with the Iran war, some surprising maneuvers from Saudi Arabia, changing things up a bit, especially around the Strait of Hormuz. We've got a ton of videos to get to today as well. And also the story that you saw in the first 5 minutes here with that John Bowne report. Bowne is still pumping out incredible reports you can still find at alexjoneslive.com. And I think they're a great way to introduce people to this type of news because they're such sort of solid and dense information bombs getting dropped. So you got to go share that. That's the story about Disney having been a Disney cruise having been disrupted when staffers were arrested for producing child pornography. And interestingly, the New York Post article originally posted had the headline that just said ICE, you know, sieges, ice storms crews and arrest crews members, you know, arrest staff members. And somebody in the comments going, because they were producing child pornography, that's kind of a big point to point out, especially the way that ICE has been demonized. They're trying to convince people, they're trying to make it look like ICE is just, you know, storming in and ruining somebody's vacation or something. It's literally the exact opposite. Families hoping to make memories on a cruise were unknowingly surrounded by alleged child predators working aboard the ships. According to law enforcement officials, U.S. Customs and Border Protection boarded five cruise ships, including a Disney cruise docked at San Diego between April 23rd and 25th, as part of an ongoing child exploitation, sexual exploitation material enforcement operation, a CBP spokesperson told the California Post. After boarding the vessel and interviewing 26 suspected crew members from the Philippines, one suspected crew member from Portugal, and one from Indonesia, officers confirmed all subjects were involved in either the receipt, possession, transportation, distribution, or viewing of CSEM or child pornography, the CBP spokesperson said. Receipt, possession, transportation, distribution, or viewing. CBP canceled their visas and these criminals are being removed from our country, the spokesperson said. We have a zero tolerance policy for this type of behavior and fully cooperated with law enforcement. While the majority of these individuals were not from our cruise line, those who were are no longer with the company, a Disney spokesperson told the California Post. It's unclear which other ships the additional crew members may have worked on outside of Disney. Passengers aboard a Disney cruise ship docking in San Diego were stunned as they documented multiple employees getting arrested last month. And, you know, hey, look, Disney's got to save money, all right? They've got to earn a couple bucks here or there by selling out your children, your privacy, and your safety, okay? It's about the bottom dollar, all right? They've wasted literally billions of dollars turning the most profitable intellectual property of all time, Star Wars, into a gigantic money pit for girls. So they really need to make that up somehow. The way they're doing it, at least in part, is going to be by firing the highly paid, highly skilled, and trustworthy American workers on their cruise ship and replacing them with people from Indonesia, the Philippines, and basically everywhere else where this type of thing isn't seen as all that bad, really, because they don't have the same morals or compunctions or fundamental beliefs as Westerners. But look, Disney's got to keep making terrible movies. They cannot ever make a movie that's profitable, therefore their propaganda ventures have to be subsidized by the cruise lines. They got to make those profitable, and so you got to outsource the work. You got to send the work to third world criminals so they can be, you know, surrounding your family in the middle of the ocean. Yeah, not great PR for Disney. They're sort of been on a downturn on the whole PR front, huh? Wouldn't you say? I think this might be a good time to get into a couple stories I was going to talk about yesterday having to do with Disney. And that is that they cannot make a good movie for the life of them because they don't believe in the morals that make good movies. They do not have the souls necessary to create art, you understand. They have small, petulant souls, so they make small, petulant movies. And this is the thing. I mean, it's a common thing with just about all movies, but Disney is really leading the charge and doing it in a explicit and deliberate way. Probably the biggest, you know, reveal of this for me, or like, you know, time I first realized it, was when the new Star Trek movies, not new Star Wars movies, but new Star Trek movies came out. So I'm a big fan of the old Star Trek. I love the classic, you know, Captain Kirk. Even more so, I like The Next Generation. Because it was a show made for adults, made for people who enjoy legitimate depth and drama about things. And that's what I like. I mean, my favorite book series of all time is the Master and Commander series, Aubrey Matron series. It's just absolutely incredible. And like, that's what I want to see. You know, the Aubrey Matron, the Master and Commander series, right? It's like tall boats, sailing ships from the late 1700s, early 1800s. And that's what I want to see in space. I want to see the Navy, but in space, dealing with like real issues and real concerns and the real drama and conflict that comes with, you know, men trying to achieve a goal that's seemingly impossible with limited resources. That's awesome and exciting and dramatic and is what is made for the meat of every story ever told. And then you get the new Star Trek, and it's basically a high school drama in space. Nobody, it's not like consummate professionals contending with a existential threat. It's like a bunch of babies running around screaming at each other, crying about their feelings getting hurt. It's pathetic. It sucks. It's nothing any adult wants to watch, but this is sort of just what's happening in entertainment overall. It's all being dumbed down. It's all being ground down to the lowest common denominator, mostly so they can sell tickets overseas to, you know, the Chinese market that doesn't give a damn about any of that and just wants to see, you know, sparkly images on the screen. No offense to the Chinese, but a little bit of offense to the Chinese because their movies are terrible and ours are, well, they used to be great. They used to be very good. And this is a real problem. And I thought about doing, this would be something that if I knew how to do AI video really well, maybe I should reach out to Wars of the Info or something. But I feel like there could be a good skit that could be like a team of, like a production team. It's like a production meeting. There's a big round table. And sitting around the table are the producers, and they're all orcs. And they're supposed to produce The Lord of the Rings. And they're just like utterly baffled at what they're supposed to be doing. And they're just like, the hero's this little weak guy. Why would we cheer for him? And like, I just think it'd be funny to see, you know, orcs trying to make a movie whose, you know, fundamental purpose and moral is so at odds with their personal beliefs, right? If an orc made a movie, you would watch as like the strong guy beat up the little guy, and orcs would be like, this is great. This is amazing. This is so funny. That little weak guy got totally stomped into the ground, right? It would be stuff that we would find horrifying. Orcs would find amazing, right? Another way you could do it would be like, you know, this is like a robot chicken sketch or something. They may have done something like this, but could the Empire produce Star Wars? Like, could you have a scene of a producer meeting and it's a bunch of stormtroopers and they're trying to make the original Star Wars trilogy about a plucky young rebel joining the rebellion and going toe-to-toe and taking down the Empire? It would be at odds with their worldview, right? They could never make that movie. They could never make a movie that celebrates individuality and, you know, forgiveness and, you know, hope, even in a hopeless situation. They don't have that capacity. Do you understand that that's literally what's happening right now? That obviously Disney can't make a Star Wars movie because they are the evil empire. They have that mindset. So when they try to make a Star Wars movie, even though it has all of the appearance and the look and the vibe of like the original Star Wars movies, the actual things that are coming across, the things that the people making the movies believe that seep into and saturate the movie is the mindset of the Empire, is the mindset of orcs. It's the mindset of evil people. That's why they don't resonate with people. That's why they aren't popular. It's why they have no staying power. That's why nobody's watched them after the first weekend that they're out. Because there's nothing there to sink your teeth into. There's nothing there that resonates with the human soul. It's a corporate monstrosity that they've covered in glitter and expect you to pay for. Nobody's paying for it, which leads you to the ultimate conclusion that not just about movies, but about really everything going on anywhere in America right now, which is it ain't about money. Disney bought the Star Wars franchise. They bought the intellectual property specifically because they didn't have any toys for boys. Disney's always had plenty of toys available for girls. The princesses, the, you know, everything Disney does is for girls. They really, you know, cornered the girl market in terms of the princess movies, but they don't have any toys for boys. They got nothing to sell to the little boys. And so they specifically bought Star Wars to appeal to the male market, and then they put it in the hands of a bunch of anti-men, feminist, radical women. And they destroyed it, and they tried to turn it into something for girls. So now it's a boy property that's been mutilated, it's been transgenderized into a fake female trilogy. And so it's actually for nobody. It actually doesn't help anybody. Nobody likes it. The women pretend to like it because they, you know, feel happy that, I don't know, something that men liked is being destroyed because they're vicious and hateful. Not all women, but the women that, you know, made Star Wars certainly feel that way. And so, again, the point is, it ain't about money. If this was about money, you know what they would do? They would have made a good movie. They would have made a movie that reflected the values of the old trilogy, the most popular and, like, persistent cultural icon of America, basically. Like, do you realize Star Wars holds a more important, the original Star Wars trilogy holds a more important place in America than, like, religion does in a lot of cases? Like, how much more likely are you going to hear a bad guy compared to Darth Vader than Satan, right? Because these characters, these figures, these the shorthand reference for evil or good or rebellion or an empire, like, something about Star Wars was so fundamental and iconic that it has supplanted really a lot of, like, classical references that we would have made. Again, if you read, like, something like Master and Commander, you know, if you read books from, like, or that take place in the early 1800s, you know, they're referencing Achilles and Odysseus. God, don't get me started on that. But, like, let's get started on that. The Odysseus trailer just came out. The Odyssey. Nolan, I think it is. And it looks terrible. Just in a word, it looks absolutely terrible. They have a woman playing Achilles. And do I need to say more? They have a sub-Saharan African woman playing Helen of Troy, which it's like, these are not made up characters. These are, like, historical figures. I mean, you can think that the Iliad and the Odyssey are fantasy, but they're not. They're history. The people that wrote them were writing them as history. The people that read them when they were popular, heard them performed in recitation, that was their history. They were talking about their ancestors and the stories of what actually happened. And it has all been verified. Pretty much all of it has been verified through archaeology. Like, they found Troy. Troy really exists. It really fell when they said it did. The Sea Peoples, who ended the Bronze Age, with the Bronze Age collapse, really were the Trojans fleeing from the falling of the city and going around and settling in different places. That's where the Philistines come from. Like, Goliath that David fights, that was a Philistine. That was one of the Sea Peoples that settled in the area that's now Palestine after they were given it by the Egyptians. I mean, this is real history. This really happened. Helen of Troy was a real woman. She was from Sparta. Sparta, especially at the time, were blonde-haired, blue-eyed Northern European settlers. And if you read one of the most amazing things to do, read the Iliad, read the Odyssey, something like that, and then read a novel set in the Viking Age. And it's, like, exactly the same. The longboats, the animal sacrifices, the religious ceremonies that they did. Like, you didn't really have a set-aside specific priest class in those days. It was like the king was also the lead priest and be the captain of the ship who would be the one performing the sacrifices. And it really is, like, uncanny. And it's because it was the same people. It was because the Vikings from the north, in their longships, came down the rivers into the Mediterranean, settled in places like Sparta. So it's like this culture of, you know, the European longship culture. It's actually real. And so the point is, when they replace Helen of Troy with a black sub-Saharan African woman, they're stealing, like, actual history. They're making a mockery of actual history. It's not something anybody should accept, and it's not necessary, and it's not creative or clever or subversive. It's just bad casting is all it is. So why do it? Because they hate white people and they're trying to disassociate white people from our history. It's actually not that complicated, and it's pretty deliberate and out in the open. I'll show you some interviews with AOC that she held yesterday where she's literally doing that. She's literally going, black people founded America and established democracy. And, like, this isn't a small thing. In the UK, of course, there are tons of movies that purport to be historical where they have black sub-Saharan Africans playing, you know, the Queen of England. Now, I think there's a difference if you have, like, you know, I've seen, like, the Indian version of Lord of the Rings, where basically everything changes, but it's mainly the same story, but they dress it up like Indians, right? Instead of the Western-style swords, they have the Indian-style swords. And it's like, great, that's fine. You know, first of all, Lord of the Rings is a fantasy story. So it's, you're not actually dealing with historical figures. So it's less sort of offensive in that regard. But in the same way, if somebody wanted to make a Robin Hood movie, but set it in Africa, and you have an Ethiopian film team that wants to film their version of Robin Hood, or Robin Hood set in Askim or Axum or wherever else, that's great. That's fine. Do that. Why not? Of course you should do that. That's what Americans do, right? At least we used to before it was deemed offensive and we had to stop apparently, but it's not just about, well, it's entertainment and we just want representation. First of all, the representation has been forced down your throat. It's not natural. It's not organic. It's not because they're the best actors. And I've said this so many times. But like, if you have a really good actor that's just the best for the role and you just like can't deny it, you know, why? Yeah, Robin in the Hood. That's right. They did do that, didn't they? That was a Canadian show. We can't blame them. They're Canadian. They don't know any better. All right. They're trying. They're trying their best. God help them. But look, I don't know. I've said the same thing over and over, but it's like it never changes. So we just have to say the same thing over and over. Going to a Shakespeare in the Park a couple years ago, and one of the female roles was played by this man who was like the funniest dude in the play. He was the standout star, and his playing the old woman was like hysterical and perfect, and he was like such a good actor, and it's like there's nothing wrong with that. Then you go to a Shakespeare in the Park about Romeo and Juliet, and they've gender swapped Romeo to where Romeo's now a woman, and so the whole damn play makes no sense. The whole play makes no sense. The whole play of Romeo and Juliet is about gender differences. Juliet is this, like, you know, poor little caged bird. She's trapped. She can't go outside. She's, you know, sort of caged by the safety that's imposed upon her by her own family. Whereas Romeo's strolling around, getting in fights with people, knocking people out, doing whatever the hell he wants because he's a man and she's a woman. And then you gender swap them, not because, oh, here's the best possible actress and she just happens to be a woman, but she's playing a man. No, she's playing a woman. It was Romeo and Juliet, but Romeo was a woman and they referred to him as her and said, Romeo's doing this. She says this. And it's like, no, now you've fundamentally broken the entire story. None of this makes any sense anymore. So what are you doing? Why are you doing it? It's just like vandalism is all it is. It's just, it's motivated by spite. It's motivated by a sense of, you know, being a subversive terrorist and getting away with it and the glee they feel from that, knowing that it pisses people off who just want to see a good movie or just want to see an accurate adaptation of their favorite story. It's because they're vicious and small-minded, which is why none of their movies are popular. And yet the people in the boardrooms let them get away with it because to them, they're willing to lose money to spread propaganda. They're willing to have their entire industry go down rather than make good movies, because good movies are pretty hard to fill with anti-human communistic propaganda. It actually has to celebrate the human spirit and be fun and enjoyable and accessible to everybody. And their mindset is a poisonous, toxic sludge that infects everything that it comes in contact with, and normal people avoid like the plague. So all of these people who are leftists, who thinks everything's motivated by money, how do you justify Disney spending the last 10 years systematically destroying multi-billion dollar intellectual properties? How do you explain that? Is it incompetence? You think the people who got to the top of Disney are incompetent? Obviously not. They're doing it on purpose because they don't care about making money. They don't care about making art. They care about using it to destroy us, and that's it.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out. More coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Wonder what to get into next, since there is so much to get into. I think what we'll do is we'll talk about a very unfortunate upcoming event that I think we all kind of have to acknowledge now is almost certainly going to happen, and that is going to be when the Supreme Court decides to approve birthright citizenship. And I don't even know what to say about this, because it is so just obviously, flagrantly wrong. I mean, there's just nothing else to say about it. It just can't possibly be what people who wrote the amendment wanted for our country. It is ridiculous on the face of it. And maybe the most astonishing thing about all of it is that, unless I'm mistaken, I think we're like the only country in the world that has this. So the idea that we would end it is not some radical, extreme, unprecedented, untested concept. It's literally what every single other country in the world has. Why do we have a suicidal agenda of letting anybody who can break our laws become a citizen? I don't know. I can't possibly say. What they're saying, if they approve birthright citizenship, is the only thing you need to do to be a citizen is break our law. As long as that's the first thing that happens, is your parents break the law on your behalf, then and only then can you become a citizen. It is obviously contradictory to the idea of legal immigration. It just completely destroys that entire concept, because you're an idiot if you go through the right process when you can just plop out a baby and cut the line. It's absurd. It's absurd that it's all absurd. We've already been over this multiple times, and this is what I mean when I say I don't even know what to do at this point, because it's obviously not arguments that this is winning on. Like, it's not logic, it's not common sense, it's not a accurate interpretation of the way the law was written at the time. It's just not. And if it was, this wouldn't even be an issue. It makes no sense. It, again, was written at a time when there were like thousands of Chinese people brought over to build railroads and then sent right back home. We didn't have, like, you think the people that were basically using what amounted to Chinese slave labor also at the same time wrote a law to give absolutely everybody that can have birth in the American, within the American borders, citizenship? What? why would they do that? That's crazy. That's just obviously not the case. And the other thing is that, you know, maybe you could say for a while this was fine, but it's got to end. And to me, the only thing that even makes it like controversial at this point is this weird idea that if we eliminate birthright citizenship, we somehow have to apply that retroactively. I don't even know why that would be a thing that we would do or have to do. I mean, we could do it. I don't see a, you know, real good argument as to why not do it. I think there should be some sort of limit. I do think if you were born here and raised here and only ever considered America your home and you're 25 years old, I think it's a little bit cruel to strip you of your citizenship, especially if you're not a citizen anywhere else. Okay, I can understand that, but nobody's saying that that's going to happen. Why would that have to happen? Is it really that hard to just say from here on out, birthright citizenship is no longer a thing? Why would that not be what we were doing? It's like, oh, we can't end birthright citizenship because that would be unfair to the people that are already here. What? It wouldn't apply to the, it applied to everybody in the future who would then come here and have a baby. They wouldn't be citizens, obviously. Like, what? How is this even a thing? So they tack on some sort of requirement that's totally unnecessary and not at all instrumental to the main body of the argument. And they say, well, we can't do it because of this thing I tacked on. Okay, just take that off and let's move forward saying no more birthright citizenship, obviously. Now, the good news is Rand Paul, for one, has actually put forward a bill to the Congress saying let's end birthright citizenship, because that would be the easy and effective and obvious way to do it from the get-go. Why do we even need the Supreme Court weighing in on this, especially when even the most staunch, conservative, old-school Supreme Court justices seem like a couple of 1960s radicals, hippies, by today's standards? It's genuinely insane. Now, I just got the video list. You guys, y'all know, I think there should be two videos with the Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch. And I want to go to those because he has made these statements. And I get that it maybe just like makes them feel good. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they just get that fuzzy feeling that they're being anti-racist. They're reliving their experience of the 1960s. Only the future generations are going to have to pay for their self-importance. It's pathetic. Let's go to clip 49 here. Yeah, this is just like so insulting and bizarre. And this is from the most conservative Supreme Court justice we have, at least of the new tranche that Trump brought in. I think Gorsuch is probably the best. Let's watch.
The Declaration of Independence had three great ideas in it: that all of us are equal, that each of us has inalienable rights given to us by God, not government, and that we have the right to rule ourselves. Our nation is not founded on a religion. It's not based on a common culture even, or heritage. It's based on those ideas. We're a creedal nation. What was Europe like at the time? It was monarchies. The notion that all people are created equal. No, there are kings and serfs. The notion that you have rights from God, from your creator. No, everything came from government. And self-rule certainly was a very dangerous proposition in the world of the Declaration, right? You're right. We take it as the air we breathe. Like fish in the water don't even realize. But those things were dangerous and inevitable, and they were traitors for declaring them.
Okay, but they also meant something entirely different than what you just said. I mean, there are parts that he brushes on the truth, but overall, that is a crazy interpretation. I mean, the words are right. Right. When he says that all men are created equal. In what way? In what way? Because when we use the term equality now, when you think of the term equal, you think equal in terms of the abilities they possess, the capabilities that they have, their, you know, worth to society in terms of being productive or non-productive. But obviously, not everyone's equal. Everyone's equal. In the eyes of God, their soul is equal. They deserve equal protection under the law because that's how you create a law that functions without giving privileges to one person over another. Outside of like the legal process, equality doesn't exist and isn't even something we should want to exist. It's unnatural and it requires force to impose on everybody. Inalienable rights, true to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and property, as Locke first put it. Also true. However, those rights are being alienated from us right now. We are being alienated from our rights, not by the government coming in and stomping on us with jackboots, but by the government opening the border and letting a bunch of criminals come in and make our parks unsafe, and letting a bunch of homeless people shoot up drugs on the sidewalk, and making our neighborhood impossible to navigate for children or, you know, defenseless women. Our rights are being stolen from us with the cooperation of the government, or this bizarre misapplication of laws that we have now. I don't know if I put the video in, but I've got a whole bunch of videos of a whole bunch of lifelong professional criminal middle-aged black men killing children and getting away with it and being let go versus a video of like a 20-year-old woman with a beer on the sidewalk getting a felony charge, getting kicked out of her college and having her life ruined. How does this correspond to the concept of equal protection under the law or anything that the founders want? But to me, the most offensive thing, obviously, is that he says America wasn't founded from a common culture. What the hell are you talking about? Or a common nation or a common like people group? Yes, they were. What? No, there was a reason that the English colonies created America. That America did not include the Spanish colonies. It didn't include the French colonies because they were a specific people group with a common culture that despite having maybe different religions, right? You had the Puritans in Massachusetts. You had the Catholics in, you know, wherever else, Georgia and more in the southern states. Their religion could be different. Maybe even their way of life, maybe even the construct of their local government could be entirely different. Again, you and the Puritans and in the, you know, Northeast, you had these town councils, you had a little bit more of a hierarchical structure down south, but they had a common culture and a common nation and a common starting point. Okay. It was Rufo say, thought experiment. Imagine if in an instant you liquidated the American people and replaced, whoa, calm down there, Chris. Ooh, calm down there, Mr. Rufo. I know you're getting a little excited talking about liquidating the American people, but that we don't want to actually do that and replace them with an equal number of non-Western, non-Christian, non-English-speaking people, would the resulting nation still be America? I thought Christopher Rufo was one of these Gorsuch types. Is he defending white people? Is he defending Christian, white, English-speaking people? That's what it sounds like to me. He says Western. What he means is white. He's too scared to say it. And the answer is obviously no. The answer is obviously no. And not just because, duh, right? Hey, guess what? If I move out of my house and another family moves in, they're not the Smiths. Obviously, one. Would it be the same family? If we removed my family and put a different family in, would that family become my family? No. To answer in the affirmative, you would have to believe that America is a ship of Theseus, that all human beings from around the world, whatever nation, culture, language, religion, are perfectly interchangeable, like simple wooden planks on the bottom of a boat. Yeah, okay, that's exactly right. We are not interchangeable. In fact, we're incredibly unique. In fact, we're like the most unique. We're like the obvious, far and away, standout example. Not just white people, America specifically. I guess it depends on if you think Italians are white, but like what we talk about in the terms of like corruption and willingness to put up with scams and little, you know, moderate theft and all this sort of stuff. I mean, go literally anywhere else in the world. You got to always be on your toes. You got to constantly be looking out because somebody's trying to scam you. Somebody's trying to pull something over on you. Americans will pull these, you know, giant, horrifying scams like putting glyphosate all over the place. But typically, you go to a store, the price that's on the thing is a fair price, and it's exactly what you'll pay at the counter, and nobody's trying to work you over for a couple extra dollars every time you check out somewhere, which is absolutely the case in just about every country in the entire world. So it's not just that Americans are different than everybody else. We're like very different and very much better and very unique, and our system is very delicate. It requires and necessitates both a moral population who will, on their own volition, not seek to exploit vulnerabilities, but it also requires ruthless application of the law to anybody that does violate those vulnerabilities. That's the only way this system works. And again, the obvious, most, I don't know, dumbass phrase ever is this term creedal nation. What the hell does that mean? What does creedal nation mean? It means we're a nation because of our creed, because of our beliefs? Okay, so does that mean we can like disenfranchise all the leftists? Can we, you know, deprive them of their American citizenship because they don't believe in our creed? Because they don't. They actually deeply oppose our creed. They deeply oppose our fundamental values. So what the hell are you talking about? It's not based in a common culture. This is the most conservative Supreme Court justice, basically saying America doesn't exist. It's not a people. It's not a culture. It's, I guess, the founding documents, but they apply to everybody. What? Let's go to clip 42, because, again, this is where Neil Gorsuch doubles down on this claim that we are a creedal nation. No, we're not. And by the way, nobody ever used that term until like the 1960s. It's literally not a thing. The founding fathers would not know what you're talking about. It's insane. And the thing is, we can either be a creedal nation or we can be a nation. Like, creedal nation is kind of a oxymoron. It does not make any sense. A nation is a group of people. Like, it's like saying it's our creedal family. It's not a family. That's your friends. You're actually just friends with them. No, a creed, a belief system that you have to adhere to. If that was going to be the, you know, requirement for being American, then that would mean that we would be expelling every single migrant that doesn't believe that, which is basically 99% of migrants, especially the illegal ones. Because when you become a citizen, you do have to take an oath to America and the Constitution, which does embody our fundamental beliefs, but they've been so warped, they've been so demented and watered down and disintegrated at this point. Nobody even understands the underlying principles that inform and undergird our, you know, documents, Bill of Rights and others. But not just that, these people just lie. They hold their hand up, they take a vow to support the American nation and our belief system. And they're crossing their fingers behind their back and thinking they're clever for doing it. And I guess they are, because we don't hold them to it. This is why I keep saying the only thing America needs, the only single solution to every one of our problems, is mass deportation and ruthless application of the law. And these two things go hand in hand, because the law says that if you are a migrant, you have to, first of all, denounce your former place of residence, which that means every single Somalian in Minnesota could be deported, no matter how long they've been here or whatever else, especially when you have people running for office saying, you know, I'm running for office to benefit Somalia. Okay, they lied in their oath. They violated their creed. Let's deport them back to the country they love so much. We won't do that for some reason. So when you take an oath to become a citizen and you denounce your, you know, reject and deny your former citizenship, deny connections and allegiances to any former place where you may have lived. Okay, but you go around waving a flag from your former country. You have violated your vow. You have violated our creed. You are not American. If we're a creedal nation, that's got to be the case. But we're obviously not. It's just infuriating. And you know, there's stuff like if you become a citizen, you know, for 10 years, you cannot have any connection with the Communist Party. That's a law on the books, and a good one. It probably needs to be expanded a little bit. And we probably need to pursue this stuff with, like, what's the term where they say, you know, dismissed without prejudice, right? We should pursue this stuff with prejudice. With prejudice, meaning it's not enough for them to skirt around the letter of the law. If they are suspicious of having violated that aspect of the vow they took, that should be enough. And we should go, yeah, sorry. And they go, well, you know, I didn't actually join. Like, I'm not a dues-paying member of the Communist Party. I just attend some of their events, or I attend the Democratic Socialist of America, and they're not technically openly an avowed communist, so I think it's okay. No. It needs to be like, that's too close to communism at all. Like, the fact that you're even entertaining socialism, you need to go now, because America is not socialist. If you took a vow to adhere to our worldview, our belief system, our founding documents, then you have broken your vow, you have violated the law, you have abandoned your claim to citizenship. Why don't we do that? Why are we such suckers? Nobody else would put up with this, and you wouldn't expect them to. Let's go to clip 42 here.
How do you get somebody hooked on an idea? And I think facts and figures, you know, all right, there are 13%, 18%, whatever, kind of don't speak to us the way stories do. That's how we relate to one another. You know, I want to know your story. You want to know mine, right? And that's how we learn, really. And we figure, well, if you're going to get interested in the Stamp Act, right? And if you're going to get interested in the Articles of Confederation, it might be because of the people behind them. And the 56 signers were incredibly, incredibly interesting people. And their stories are moving. We forget that the revolution was 8 bloody long years. A third of the signers had their homes destroyed. Many of them were imprisoned. Some of their wives were imprisoned. Some of their children were imprisoned. And many of them gave their fortunes to the revolution and died poor as a result of it. So telling those stories of courage and sacrifice, we hope, might inspire a few young minds and make them realize the Declaration's three big ideas are not inevitable. They were not inevitable. And their preservation is not inevitable, and that the torch passes to each generation. And we're a creedal nation. What unites us is not a religion. It's not a race. It's a belief in those three ideals. That's our mission statement as a country. And if the people don't get inspired to learn about them and believe in them, well, the baton drops.
I mean, that was why Ronald Reagan in his farewell address, that was his argument was we need to teach informed patriotism to the next generation.
It was also George Washington's speech toward the end of his administration, where he was advocating for a national university to teach civics and virtues. And he wasn't afraid to talk about virtues that are necessary to maintain a republic. And that is something that all of the founders agreed on. I mean, Jefferson said, you know, if you expect a country to remain free and ignorant, well, you want something that's never been and never will be.
And here we are. And here we are, bunch of ignorant criminals running around, and the government's lost the will or capability or, you know, civic intelligence to punish them for it or hold them to account for it. So our nation is dying. And it sounds an awful lot like you're about to give birthright citizenship to everybody in the world who can, for at least the time period in which they're taking their oath, pretend to believe in American values. And that's exactly what they're doing. And of course, they're doing this all over the world. Let's go to clip 33 here. This was a big scandal in the UK because it turns out that you can lie if you have no moral compunction and are an immoral scumbag scam artist. You can pretend to believe in a creed just to get what you want. What? Oh, it's incredible. People lie. Let's watch. You're an LGBT, but you're not. No, you're not an LGBT. There's no hope in any other visa. We've all had a briefing yesterday. As you know, we're dividing into two teams and going in two different addresses. And we're going to attempt to arrest our two subjects.
Hello, good morning. I look
Yes.
Is she in?
All right, so we can pull the audio down, keep the video up. So what this video is British police are going around and arresting people who claimed asylum by saying they were gay and saying, I have to have asylum. I can't be sent back home. They'll kill me. I'm gay. When really it was just a bunch of leftists going, hey, just say you're gay and they have to let you in, right? Say Alakazam, say open sesame, and suddenly the law doesn't apply to you. Say the magic words. They don't have to mean anything. They don't connect anything in reality. They're magical words. Say the magical words, I'm gay, and then that will give allowance to the person who really wants you in there anyway, knows you're not gay, but as long as you say it, they can check the box and pretend that you're an asylum seeker. It's open fraud. What do you get when you have a creedal nation? You get a bunch of people who don't believe in your creed, don't believe in honor, don't believe in justice, don't believe in honesty, lying about believing in your creed to screw you over. Two people have been arrested. There's probably 100,000 there. Oh my God, all these gay people from Qatar are coming. What? How crazy is that? I didn't realize everyone from Ethiopia is gay, but they all say they're gay. Guess we got to let them all in because we're idiots. We're a bunch of dummies.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL, your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.